There's always amusing advertising on the TV. One in particular that I enjoy is this husband and wife are in the car, and they're saying, well, what if it was or instead of and? And they are transferred in the scene to a Chinese restaurant. Instead of having sweet and sour chicken, they're going to have sweet or sour chicken. I just love their faces. It's rather descriptive of the fact, and of course the waiter is there and he's just, oh, isn't it, don't you like this? And what is this? And it's sour chicken. And obviously that and is better than or. For the Christian, this is so important. Can you imagine if we were looking at or instead of and? That we would receive God's grace or mercy. That Jesus was God or man. That we would be receiving from God either His Word or the Holy Spirit. Well, thank goodness in each one of those cases, it's both and. And so for the Christian, we can rejoice in that it's and. Today, I want us to look at something that is definitely both and. If you would, join me in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, where we will see it is about growing up. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, a quick look back at verses 12 through 14, and you're going to get the immediate context of what Paul is addressing here. And he begins by saying that it's very, very much purposed by the Lord that the church would be supplied what it needs to grow. And that the natural process, the spiritual process of the church is to be built up and to grow. But then he says, he throws in this warning here, and he says, but the false teachers are going to be coming in. And they're going to be confusing the people with their schemes. And within these false teachers that one would definitely need to examine their intent. For by all appearances, they're there to serve others. When in reality, their motives are rather nasty and trying to take people captive. Now, within this, then, in this context, we can see that he's referencing infants. For anyone that has been around an infant, and of course, I wouldn't be talking about Emma's granddaughter, otherwise, I could get myself in trouble. But for most infants, they don't move so well. They don't think so well. They don't speak hardly at all. And the idea is that, well, you don't want to be like the infant in this perpetual stage of not being able to take care of yourself. Because as we grow up, as children, the idea isn't just that we get bigger, but it's that we have some understanding that we need to figure things out. We need to be making decisions that are good for us and will be in a position that we will be able to help others because we've spent some time figuring them out. As Paul goes on and he's talking here about these children, in which he's saying that one of the consequences of not allowing yourself this natural process of growth, which is another word for immaturity, is that it is going to lead to instability. One of the evidences of still being childish spiritually is instability. And of course, then Paul is saying that instead, you should progress as you should, as you're supposed to, because then you will avoid the embarrassment of immaturity evidencing itself in instability. Secondly, it is about being better. Now here, as we look at verse 15, this is a grammatically awkward sentence. The speaking the truth here is not a verb. It's actually a participle. Now don't worry, that doesn't mean anything to me either. I'm just saying that if we were to literally translate that, it's not a verb. And so it isn't speaking the truth, it's truthing. I'm sorry, that's as good as I can come up with. And what it means by that is it's much more. It's so much more than just speaking the truth. You're saying what you mean to say. That there's a real equality between what you're saying and what you're doing. You're living out truth in your life. You're putting it on display. You're showing it to other people. That the idea with truthing is that it becomes what defines you. And this is what we should be doing, is we should be living life in such a way it demonstrates clearly what we believe, what we know is the truth. And of course, with that, then he goes on and he's putting this together with love. And so we see that this combination here is that love the love of God has been poured upon us. And so that we are to live our lives with this love in mind. The Holy Spirit is there. He's providing us all the resources that we would be able to demonstrate this love in our life. And of course, these two are to go together. Truth and love. It is both and. Raises a question. Do people see Jesus in you? Well, that's only possible if you are demonstrating both truth and love. There was this one time, many of you have heard the story before, in which there was a large lilac bush that was going to be sacrificed for new construction. And Robin, being the big-hearted person that she was, thought it was a worthy prospect to save this lilac. Fortunately or unfortunately, I agreed with her. So we head down here to dig this thing out before it gets torn apart. Now, to dig the hole around this lilac bush, it was about 6 foot in diameter. And I was having to dig out and dig down far enough that I could get to the main roots going down, that I could cut them off. So you can imagine that after I've dug this hole out, I'm having to get down here and try to get to the very roots underneath, because I would take a big 2x6 on edge and put it on one side and just pry and pry, and it just wasn't going anywhere. Ended up breaking my 2x6. It wasn't until I got around that thing well enough that when I tried to get it out of the hole, now this root ball is probably 3.5 foot wide, and about 16 inches deep. I trimmed some of the edges off so it wasn't that all the way through, but even so, it had to weigh more than a couple hundred pounds. And I tried to drag it out of that hole, and it was impossible. Until I went back home, got enough boards that I could raise one side up a little bit, get the board under there, and raise the other side up, get the board under there. Once I elevated both sides, I was able to get the lilac out of the hole. The trip home, that was very, challenging. But we'll save that for another time. The point is this. Spiritually, we can't get out of the hole of immaturity unless we are elevating both sides of truth and love. That if we're trying to be all truth or we're trying to be all love, we aren't going to get out of the hole of spiritual immaturity. The only way we're going to get out is if we elevate both of them. And then lo and behold, we get out. So the idea is that we will get better as we go along. Now, I will say this about the truth and the love. Much like getting that giant, enormous lilac out of the ground, that was just there for editorial effect. It wasn't that huge. It was very big. But we get the idea that as we're looking at our Christian life, and the goal is maturity, not immaturity, that the way to achieve that is to, in balance, bring truth and love in our expression. That will make us better people. It does not happen by accident. We don't fall into it. It's planning, it's practice, it's prayer, it's perseverance. Boy, did it ever require perseverance on that lilac. I hope that's a transferable application to our spiritual life. That requires perseverance. Third, it is about the benefits of maturity. Do any of you struggle putting together truth and love? Of course you do. Now, for those that are exceptionally wise, for those that are exceptionally able to have a great deal of experience behind them in their Christian life, they get pretty used to putting truth and love together, and it's a cool thing. But for most of us, we struggle with this. That it isn't something that's that easy to do. That sometimes we'll have too much of one and not enough of the other. And we struggle with that. Why? Because we have not yet arrived. We don't have this whole thing called the Christian life figured out. And without figuring it out, we have some missteps along the way. We've all bore the experience of some young person wanting to begin with their cooking and baking experiences. And they will go ahead and they will be diligent in the cookbook to find something that they can bake. And we've all experienced less than acceptable offerings from them. Soon, the poor little girl's nickname is Betty Crocker. And her siblings like to tease her and give her a bad time. But you know, eventually, if she's persistent, she gets things kind of figured out. And as she does, Pretty soon, even these hard to convince siblings are lined up to get one of her brownies. In fact, with enough perseverance, someday she could write her own cookbook. And I think that as we look at this inexperience of putting together truth and love in the power of Christ in our lives, we are immature at it. We aren't that great. But if we will just persevere, we will get better. We will be able to accomplish this in such a way that it works out good. Let's take another look again here at verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You know, how do we do this? How do we put this truth in love together? Well, here we go. And we see Paul gives it to us just in as simple terms as he possibly can. Both the source of the power, of the strength to do this, and the goal of accomplishing it is Christ. He's not only providing us with, we get to go ahead and see his power work in our lives as we elevate truth and love together. It's like, wow. But the result of that is we have a deeper fellowship with him. We get to feel like we're closer to him. The closer we are to him, the more people don't see old us, but they see Jesus in us instead. And so with this whole truth in love putting together thing, Paul is very simply saying it's in Christ. He gives you the ability, and it's going to look like him when you're done. He is the source, and he is the goal. So this should motivate us. This should show us that we should want to have this Christ-likeness. As it relates to the body, to the church, that is Paul's context. We know that truth promotes unity. Lies, disunity. We know that love promotes unity. But we know that selfishness divides. And so it should be real easy for us to see the effect of a life that we live if we are seeking this process of putting truth and love together as we should, that it is going to have its effect of maturity in the whole church. It helps everybody else. Well, so that makes for a really neat goal. And that's the reason that we should seek in our display of our life that we are doing it for benefiting ourselves. We're growing, but we're also helping the body to grow as God has designed. I want to finish with one application. I hope we all get the fact we're to put truth and love together. And we're kind of imperfect at it. We don't always do it so good. I know I should have said, well, I just did that for effect. It's tough when you got people that are well-versed in English in the room. But, you know, we accommodate them as best we can. Okay. So as we recognize we're in a work in progress, that we aren't going to necessarily do truth and love together well, we get the idea that, wow, what an absolutely amazing opportunity for each and every one of us. Because just like I can't demonstrate perfectly truth and love, then I can automatically assume neither can you. So when you don't, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be disappointed. But I am going to engage in an absolute opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, for me to be able to show grace and humility. Because I can be kind to you. I can be encouraging to you. Because even though your whole truth, love, balance thing was a little out of whack, you didn't have enough truth or you didn't have enough love, what a wonderful opportunity it is for me and for you that we can give grace and humility to one another. Because in so doing, guess what? We haven't added any more disappointment to someone else's imperfection. But instead, we've used the very thing that, well, maybe it didn't come off so good, is the very opportunity we have to still allow Jesus to produce spiritual fruit, to produce spiritual growth in us as an individual, in us as a church. Truth and love are absolutely necessary for spiritual maturity. You will not arrive at spiritual maturity without either one of those. And when we do, and we realize it gives us an opportunity because we are imperfect at this, it gives us the perfect chance to be able to demonstrate God is at work in our midst. Because when it comes to truth and love, it is definitely both and. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And we are to demonstrate this to one another. Lord, thank you for this week, where we get to put into practice, we get to persevere, we get to try hard at putting truth and love together in balance as a demonstration of spiritual maturity, spiritual impact. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that gives as we, as a group of imperfect people, will do this imperfectly but can still be used by God to grow this place for your honor and glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the conclusion of our service today, I trust you're motivated to seek spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. That begs the question, if anyone is here and this stuff doesn't make sense to them because they don't know Jesus, let today be the day of your salvation. Just holler at me either right now or at the end of the service or before you go home. Say, Scott, I need to know Jesus. Be real privileged to share with you from the Word of God how you can know who he is, what he came to do for you, and how you can have a relationship with him forever. Let us stand. Anyone has anything that they would want to make public, just ask you to move at this time. If you want to become a member of Clear Lake Christian Church, just come forward, let us know of your intent. If you have a prayer need, you just want to pour before the Lord, just come on up here. You can sit in one of the front pews. You kneel on the steps. If you have business to do with God, do it before you leave today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You have loved us with an everlasting love. According to Revelation 13:8, before you even began the process of creation, you already loved us as your own. that's staggering to our imagination, to our finite perspective of looking at everything going from the past to the future. But you don't look at things that way. You are wholly other. You're in a category of one. And as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, you are God. May our worship be acceptable in your sight. May you dismiss us with your power, that we will go intending on having an impact for you in the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.